My friends, trials are part of the process God uses to make us more and more like Jesus.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message aired last week, we heard Pastor Brian Grant show from God's Word how it is possible to experience God's peace and true joy, even when going through desperate times that test the depth of our faith. He explained how, first of all, we need to recognize that trials are a necessary part of God's perfecting process. Now this evening, Pastor Grant will develop two more points that will help us endure and victoriously prevail under trials that may seem unendurable. Here again is Pastor Grant with the second part of What to Do When the Bottom Falls Out.
James was totally committed to Christ and soon became the leader of the church. Isn't that an amazing story? This guy, you know, it just shows us. Some of us think that because I'm a Christian and I just got saved 2 weeks ago, and some of these gray-haired people have been saved for 15 and 50 years, there's nothing much I can do. I need to just sit quietly in my little space. But I want you to know that when you make a total commitment to God, He can grow you much faster than you ever imagined. You can grow spiritually at an incredible pace when you say, "All to Jesus I surrender." And I want to challenge some of you young men and you some of you young ladies to make that type of a commitment today, that I will follow Jesus with my whole life. Jesus, I want you to use me to make a difference in my life. That was James, amen. That was James, and God used him mightily. He was the leader of the church. When you read the Acts of the Apostles at the Council of Jerusalem, James was the leader. James, all over, James is leading the way. Many believe he was eventually martyred in 62 AD. My friends, trials are part of the process God uses to make us more and more like Jesus. Perhaps right now you're going through a tough time. If it's because of sin, confess it to God. Let it go. Amen? If it's because of sin, teenager, older person, if it's because of sin, let it go. But if it's not because of sin, submit your life to God so He can use you and the challenge and the trial you face to make you more like Jesus. First thing to do when the bottom falls out, recognize that trials are part of God's perfecting process. But here's the second thing that I want you to write in your notes. The second to do is recognize that running from trials often creates spiritual deficiency. Running from trials often creates spiritual deficiency. We become anemic, deficient Christians because we have run from trials. Trials are good to build proper, to give you all the vitamins you need, amen, in the Christian life. If you choose to run, you will never be. If you try and run from trials, you will never be the Christian God intends you to be. I'm going to put on the screen the verse in a verse here, James chapter 1. Verses 3 to 4. I'm going to put it on the screen in the message. And here's how it reads. It's under pressure that your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed. not deficient in any way. Oh, I hope we're getting that this morning. It's what? It's under pressure. Are we getting it? It's under pressure that our faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Oh, we wish we could have just a nice, calm ride to heaven. A joy ride into heaven. I can have a joy ride, but there's going to be problems. The Lord will fill my heart with joy as he passes me through the trials. Let it do so, so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient. James was writing to Christians who were facing very difficult times of testing. They had assumed that once they decided to follow Jesus, life would get easier, for the omnipotent God would protect and sustain them. But instead of things getting easier, they had gotten harder. As a result, some of the young believers had lost heart and were giving up. And I wouldn't be surprised, because we've heard so much of to the contrary that perhaps you can identify. For though you've been saved for a while, things have not been easy. Am I talking to anybody like that? You've been saved for a while, but things have not been easy. You know, every now and then we heard one of the brothers share his testimony at the breakfast and just telling us how wonderful things have changed since he's made a commitment to Jesus. And thank God, there are a lot of us who can testify to that. But listen. Sometimes in the midst of all of that blessing, there is some trial, some tough time. Amen? Listen. God has designed trials to help us mature spiritually. So when we run from trials, we will become spiritually deficient. I'm not sure I've ever heard anyone say that before. But that's exactly what the verse is saying. When we run from trials, we will be spiritually anemic. Sadly, many preachers falsely teach that when we come to Jesus, he makes us the head and not the tail. You ever heard that preaching? And as a result, we are exempt from trials. And to support this, they frequently quote Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. You've all heard this verse before. Deuteronomy 28, where the Bible says, "The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom, if you faithfully obey the commands of the Lord." People love that type of preaching. Oh, I will always be the head, not the tail, okay? This is a great passage if you're a Jew. For God made, listen, stay with me now. When you read the Old Testament, please stop doing what is getting so common, that we pick passages that are specifically given to the Jews and we take them and run with them. That passage, God made a commitment, a promise to the Jews. Listen, not the church. It was, but by the way, it was not a blank check to Israel either. Okay? For there were conditions attached. God said, "I will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God and carefully follow them." There was a big if you pay attention and if you follow the commands of the Lord. Sadly, Israel has not kept the conditions and has suffered greatly. Come on now, who among us doesn't realize how much Israel has suffered? Even in our time. In fact, just right now, they're trying to get back all their hostages. All of us know about the Holocaust. Israel has suffered badly, terribly. And yet God had promised them that he would make them the head, not the tail, if they followed his commands. Listen, there is something built into the human nature. They had a promise from God that he would make them the head. They would always be on top if they followed him. But they decided that they wouldn't follow him. Oh, may God help us this morning that we may determine we will follow him. You see, God's promises to the church and to Israel are totally different. For whereas Israel is promised an earthly blessing, the church is promised a heavenly blessing. Amen? Which one you prefer? If you had a choice of the two, which would you choose? 80 years of blessing on earth? Or what? Unlimited blessings in heaven. Of course, somebody say, oh, I want both. I hear them now. You see, you can't get the blessing for Israel unless you're a Jew, okay? So if you want to be a Jew and a Christian, well, that's a different story, all right? All right, but if you're not a Jew, those blessings are not for you. No, all right, I don't want to get off of my tangent because trust me, how many of you here feel blessed right now? You see, even with the struggles we go through, we actually sense his blessing. Little songwriter says, he leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Just to think of the joy we get from following Jesus. Yes, he passes us. The Bible says some through the fire, some through the flood. Some of us are going to go through some tough times. But here's the good things. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. He'll never leave me alone. He walks beside me. No matter how tough it might be. And some of you right now, as you face your trial, as the bottom has fallen out in your life, if you know Jesus, rest in him, for he will hold you. Thank God he will hold our hand. Listen, we need not run from trials. For as we saw in James 1:4, running from trials retards spiritual growth and leads to spiritual deficiency. So instead of running, let's run to our Heavenly Father, who is able to do for us exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Now that's the passage for the church. Amen. You want a passage? Hold on to that one. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What a mighty God we serve. I'm so glad he is my God. I am so glad. Hallelujah. I am his child. I am a child of the King. And he has taken good care of his child. You know, a Christian was going through some intense trials and received an email from her friend that said the following. I think a very good analogy about how God develops us through trials is to consider how a diamond is formed. Her friend said, for in order to transform ordinary carbon into a diamond, which is the hardest substance on earth, you may or may not realize that, a diamond is the hardest substance on earth. In order to transform ordinary carbon into a diamond, it must be subjected to intense heat and extreme pressure. Did you hear that? For this ordinary carbon to become this beautiful diamond that is the hardest thing on earth, substance on earth, it requires intense heat and extreme pressure. Perhaps right now, you're dealing with some intense trials. The first thing to do is to make sure you're not harboring sin in your life. Make sure you're not harboring sin. But if you have a clear conscience before God, just realize that God is perfecting you and he's holding you. First thing to do when the bottom drops out or falls out, recognize that trials are part of God's perfecting process. Secondly, as we have shared, we must recognize that running from trials often creates spiritual deficiency. And here's the third and final thing I want to share with you this morning. You should discover God's peace by submitting our anxieties to him. Amen. Discover God's peace by submitting our anxieties to him. Let me take you back to James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we're going through tough times, our faith sometimes falters. So here are two things I want you just to write in your notes. Worry, just remember, write this down, that worry and faith cannot live in the same house. For faith and fear cannot coexist. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anytime you find yourself unduly stressed, one thing you can be sure, you're not trusting. You're stressing. Worry and faith cannot live in the same house. Little song says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Don't take your burden to the Lord and then pick it back up. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Worry and faith. Oh, some of you are right now stressing. Cast your care on the Lord. Here's the second thing to put in there. Fear immobilizes us and puts us in bondage, but faith will empower us and set us free. So whenever you feel overwhelmed by worry, stop to pray and to spend time in God's word. Admit to him that you're feeling overcome by fear and ask him to hold you. As I prepared, I went to one of the songs that has been resonating in my heart from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Some of you know this song. When trouble is all around you, this one thing I know, God is on your side. So don't give up. The winds may blow, but be still and know. Remember, there's a God who's always near, and he's holding you. Amen. There's a God who is always near when trouble is all around you. Oh, my brother and sister, right now, trouble is all around some of you. But whenever trouble is all around you, just remember there is a God who is always near. And he's holding you. I remember when I was in hospital, and after several days of being on antibiotics, I told you the story before, the temperature was 103.9, despite having all this ice covering me. That afternoon, the doctors told me that the bacteria I had contracted was mutating, and it kept changing its form. And so all of the antibiotics they kept trying were not working. And so they were having to come up with something new. They were working feverishly in the lab. The doctors told me that they think it would take at least 48 hours more to come up with something that would work. And you could sense that they didn't say it, but I could sense that they were saying, we're not sure you really have 48 hours that you can last 48 hours. I could sense their concern as to whether my body would last long enough. But I felt very calm, and I'm honest with you, I felt very calm. For I had submitted my anxiety to the Lord, and I sensed that He was holding me. And to be honest, as I lay in the bed, I realized even if I never made it back home to Maple Glen, I had another home. Amen. I had another home. Oh, I wanted to come back. I didn't want to just leave them so suddenly. But I knew I had another home. But I also sensed that God was going to do something special. And so I want to just say to you, my brother and my sister, young person, I just want you to know that this business about God holding you is real. Our Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, can hold you. It's real. But you need to come to a point where you are submitted to Him. So I want to close by asking two very simple questions. Number one, I want to speak to that person that you couldn't have the confidence that if you had passed, you would go to heaven. I need to ask you today, are you sure if you died, you would go to heaven? If something happens on your way home and you died, will you be in heaven? And if you're not sure of that, you need to make sure today. Amen. If you're not sure of that, you need to make sure today. But here's the other thing. Perhaps you're struggling with problems and anxieties. If so, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I encourage you right now to draw close to Jesus and turn those anxieties over to Him. For despite how tough the challenge may be that you're facing, God is able to hold you. Would you let Him hold you today? Would you say, God, I'm going through some fire, but oh God, I thank You that I can come to You, the one who has all power, and that You care enough that You will hold me. Father, I pray that even now, there might be someone who is not sure of salvation, who will make sure today for that person who is experiencing drama in their life, that they may say, come to You and say, God, I commit my life to You. Please hold me. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need Your forgiveness. Thank You that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for You from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.